Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The more popular the parable, the less it's understood correctly. The Good Samaritan makes for a popular parable, to be sure. There are Good Samaritan hospitals, Good Samaritan laws, Good Samaritan houses for the poor, Good Samaritan social service organizations, Good Samaritan senior care facilities, Good Samaritan health insurance, and more. And each of these represents the classic way to misunderstand the parable. Jesus tells the parable to answer the lawyer whose question was not without false motives straight out of the gate. He asked in order to put Jesus to the test. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Which is a patently stupid question that betrays the lawyer's ignorance of God's salvation. What can I do to inherit the Roman throne, or the crown of England, or the Gates family fortune, or Kirk Douglas's dashing good looks, or Michael Phelps' prowess in the swimming pool? Nothing, guy. That's not how inheritances work, Jesus could have replied. But he plays along. What is written in the law? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. A good summary of the two tables of God's commandments. So Jesus responds, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, see, he came to test Jesus, but now he's back on his heels playing defense, needing to justify himself, asked, and who is my neighbor? After the parable, then, Jesus asks the same question, but in an altogether different way. Which of these three men proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among robbers? The Samaritan, the one who showed mercy. It is a complete inversion of what the man was asking. By showing who the neighbor is, Jesus also shows who the lawyer in the parable is. The neighbor is the one who showed mercy, who rescued the man left for half dead in the ditch, who treated his mortal wounds, who placed the bloodied and beaten man onto his own animal and took him to the innkeeper for triage. The Samaritan is the neighbor. So the lawyer must be the man in the ditch, dying, bleeding out, gasping for breath. That's not how we understand the parable when we put ourselves into the place of the Samaritan. When we build hospitals or senior living communities that care for people unable to care for themselves, we arrogantly assume that the parable is an exhortation to good works, to care for those beaten up by robbers, to show mercy to those marginalized. If that were the case, this would be the only parable ever that Jesus told that instructed you how to be good and righteous before God. Do this, and you will live, is what Jesus said about the law to the lawyer, the supposed expert in keeping God's commandments. And then he tells a parable about a guy who got the tar kicked out of him by robbers. Do this, and you will live, is not good news. It's robbery. It's assault. Before he gets into the weeds about who the neighbor is, Jesus first intends to beat this man to a pulp. Do this and you will live. Has, of course, a corollary. Fail to do this and you will die. Fail to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and you will die. If you, like the self-important lawyer, desire to justify yourself, to make yourself good and righteous before God, look out. You're in for a beating. The law will assault you. It will rob you of every work that you wanted to hold on to because you thought it was good. Do not love the Lord your God half-heartedly, 1 hour a weekedly, when it suits your schedule-ly. Do not love anything else. Your whole love must be oriented toward God. In just a few chapters in St. Luke's account of the gospel, Jesus will say, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Anything you love more than God is an idol. Anything you choose before him is an idol. Whole-hearted, whole-souled, whole-strengthed, whole-minded, whole-bodied devotion to God is the only standard of righteousness. Do this and you will live." And then there's that bit about loving your neighbor as yourself. So repent. Come down off of your self-righteous hobby horse. Acknowledge your abject failure to love God perfectly, to use his name rightly and perfectly, to hear his word regularly and perfectly, to honor your parents perfectly, to improve your neighbor's possessions, to guard his life perfectly, to protect your neighbor's marriage and your own marriage perfectly, to improve your neighbor's possessions perfectly, to guard your neighbor's reputation perfectly, to be perfectly content with what God has given. Look around. You're not the Samaritan on the road just looking for someone to serve. You're in the ditch, dying. You need a neighbor who will show you mercy. The Samaritan is the one who showed mercy, who stooped to help the man dead or dying in the ditch. Jesus is the Good Samaritan. But in order to receive his mercy, you've got to be in the ditch. That's why Jesus pulled no punches of the law towards the lawyer. It's why he preaches his law in all of its sternness and all of its violence toward your sinful flesh. He needs you dead in the ditch. He's not the savior of half-good people in need of just a few more works in order to justify themselves. He's the God who raises the dead. So he's going to kill you in order to raise you. Jesus is the death of every self-justification scheme. He, the Good Samaritan, exists in the flesh in order to save a mankind left for dead by the ravages of a holy, impossible to keep law. He is the neighbor to the old Adam, the first guy who thought to justify himself. He is the new Adam. He is the one who shows mercy by taking the blows from the law's accusation onto himself. He came not to abolish the law, not to destroy those robbers, but to fulfill it, to let them rob him, to keep every letter of the commandments perfectly, to love God with every ounce of his strength, to love his neighbor perfectly as himself by giving himself on the cross for you, his neighbor. Every deadly blow of the law lands on Jesus. His means of grace, then, are resurrection to dead men in ditches of self-justification. He has pulled you out of the pit of death, washed you in his own death, and given you a share in his resurrection by pouring on the water of his holy baptism. He salves your wounds, and he heals your sin-scorched soul with the oil of his absolution, when he still today, in the mouths of his ministers, speaks you forgiven. He carries you into the inn of his church, and he commands his innkeepers to nurse you back to health, to keep forgiving your sins, to feed you with the medicine of immortality, his own crucified and risen body and blood, sparing no expense until he gets back. And only then does his last word to the lawyer make sense. You go and do likewise. That is, show mercy as Jesus shows mercy. This isn't a parable that tells you to be nice to those marginalized and to do good things for them. The law already tells you to do that. That's certainly included in the command to be merciful. It's a parable that sets you free from your self-justification. And then you are free to have mercy on others, to set them free from their self-justification schemes, to recount to them the story of the Samaritan who would spare no expense, not even his own life, in order to save sinners from self-justification ditches. And now that Jesus has become your neighbor and your Savior, He has set you free from having to win the inheritance of heaven by your failing good works. You then can be merciful. You can be forgiving, loving, giving, gracious, and patient towards those still in the ditch, toward those who sin against you, to those who foolishly think they can win an inheritance by trying hard to make themselves good. Jesus forgives you, and He raises you to life with His mercy. Then you go and do likewise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.